Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. Doug Gottlieb Show comes to you from sunny Southern California. Got a great hour of content for you. Actually, two more hours of content. Real credit card questions require real people. Someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. We'll get to the Manning cast recap. I thought that was the worst guest. Those were the worst guests that they've had. It doesn't mean they were all collectively bad. Like, I thought Edelman was really good, but it was too little of Edelman and the game didn't matter. I give my Kevin Hart thoughts, give my Condoleezza Rice. Parcells was really good. He's really, really good. But didn't love the guests. Understand why the guests exist. We'll talk about that upcoming. Plus, we have Eric Eager joining us, who's an analyst for Pro Football Focused. We'll get his thoughts on last night's game, on Brady, and on this Matt Nagy conversation, on the Packers, et cetera, et cetera. Jeff Schwartz is going to join us next hour. This, by the way, is the 7th anniversary of the Odell Beckham Jr. catch. And Jeff Schwartz was on the New York Giants during that catch 7 years ago. 7 years ago. So there are expressions that I use quite often, right? And I don't do it because I'm trying to like coin phrases. Right? A couple just I have friends in basketball and I tell them all the time, and I've said this on my podcast, that road wins are better than sex. And you're like, what? No way. No. I'm like, think about it for a second. Like, once you're an adult, you don't talk about those things with your friends, but you can brag about a road win to all of your buddies. Male, female, otherwise, doesn't matter. And if they're a fan of the team you beat on the road, even better, because salt in the wound. Whereas, yeah, you're just disclosing too much otherwise. But it's the same kind of euphoric feeling of accomplishment, right? So I got a buddy last night who's a head coach of a Division I team. He texted me and they got a road win. And he's like, what do you say about road wins? And I said, well, there's another expression that I have, which is kids are like money. The most fun you'll have is making it, right? Well, here's one that I've often used and I know it to be true. You can't fool players. Can't do it. And you're like, Doug, you say that all the time. Yeah, I do. I say it a lot. And why do I say a lot? Because I know it to be true. I also know it to be an expression that's often used in sports, is can't fool the players. You know, coaches sometimes can be fooled, not often. Fans can be fooled constantly, not so much for players. Because they know the locker room. They know what's right. Like, I'm often reminded by Mark Schlereth, who, teammate here at Fox, calls games, played on 3 Super Bowl championship teams. He was in Washington with the Skins when they drafted Heath Shuler, I think number 4 overall. And then Gus Frerotte was a 7th round pick. And he likes to say he walked up to the GM in like the first week of practice and was like, why is the 7th round pick better than the 1st round pick? Turns out he was right. Can't fool players. They know. So there's a report out. Oh, actually, a report out. Skip Bayless earlier today on Undisputed said that, you know, he has a source that says that he's very close to losing the locker room. And I don't know if I've been a proponent or an opponent of Baker Mayfield. I feel like I've given you the best possible perspective on him, because I've talked to a lot of people, NFL, college, quarterback guru sorts. And the best way to describe him is he's a more talented Case Keenum. You know, and Case Keenum, by the way, happens to be his backup. Same system, right? Case Keenum played 6 years at the University of Houston, whereas Baker Mayfield some of the same coaches, exact same system, Texas Tech and then Oklahoma. He's got a stronger arm, but like Case, undersized. Like Case, for a regular human being, a very good athlete. For a quarterback, average at best athlete. For a quarterback in the NFL, below average size. Above average heart, above average competitiveness, and football IQ is very, very high. Very high. But at some point, you have to be able to make plays. And guys generally love playing with Baker because he's all about, he just has a good way about him. But at some point, if you can't play, if you can't ball, if you can't make plays, it's like, damn, I can't believe what that did. Like all of these other guys that are star quarterbacks or star running backs or star wide receivers, there's that one or two plays they just make a game where you're like, damn, if we could just find a way to get him the ball more, he's going to make a play. That's not who Baker is. Matter of fact, when he tries to make plays, oftentimes that's when he looks his worst. So I think that a lot of this comes from players starting to figure out, look, he's not a bad guy. We don't dislike him. He's a rah-rah, but kind of in a cool sort of way. He kind of has this cool cock of the walk, you know, sort of way about him. But he's just not that good. Baker skipped the media availability on Sunday. Here he addressed it yesterday.
You looked frustrated coming off the field yesterday. Is that why we didn't hear from you?
Yeah, I was frustrated, among other things. I've never dodged any questions or hid away from that. So it's not about that. Just frustrated, removed emotions and all that from it. Just decided it was best to wait.
Yeah, listen, I understand what he's saying. I do think there's a contradiction there where you said I've not dodged the questions. And by the way, here's the broadcasting 101 for you budding journalists, right? The trigger word there was frustrated. Now, he gave you the answer that you wanted, but that's not how you ask the question. You're supposed to ask the question, Baker, what were your emotions yesterday walking off the field? And then he says, I was frustrated. But instead, you planted frustrated. So all he's answering is the question is of that trigger word. Make sense? All right. Here's Baker talking about the boos.
Baker, what did you make of some of the booing there in the second half from the fans?
Those are probably the same fans that won't be quiet while we're on offense and trying to operate. So don't really care.
Yeah, that's not the right answer. Not the right answer. And look, I don't believe you boo your home players, but you're allowed to, and especially in professional football. You're allowed to boo them. I don't know necessarily what good that you're like, you're unhappy. Got it. But the proper answer for Baker Mayfield is, look, when we're not playing well, if I was up there, I would probably boo too. But we need those. We need everybody to keep fighting and keep believing. And we did win the game. Like, let's the important takeaway is we won that football game. That's it. However you win it, you won it. This is Baker Mayfield on being accountable.
You pride yourself on being that guy and being accountable and stepping forward. And
not one part of that's not being accountable. I'd be the first to tell you I played like so. It's not about accountable, and I don't owe you guys any of that. I owe that to my teammates, and I talk to them, so that's what matters.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting just really defensive with every answer. Again, he's not wrong. None of this is wrong. He's not, but this is a lot like in the media. Like, you can be right and be out of a job. Baker Mayfield, you can be right. Like, all you have to do, all that matters is those guys in the locker room. They believe in you, you're good. If you're accountable to them, you're good. Okay? But perception does become reality, and now all of a sudden, fans turn on you, so you get super defensive and you turn on them. You're not going to win that fight. Yes, John Ramos.
Do you think Baker's become the polarizing football player, kind of like the Tim Tebow was? I know Tim Tebow, I'm sure you think Baker's a lot way better than Tim Tebow is.
Yes.
But polarizing, he just seems extremely, I mean, I saw four different things sent out by our network today about Baker being great, Baker being overrated, Baker being underused. It's interesting, isn't it?
I think a lot of it is he was the number one overall pick. He's on commercials. I think you see that because we're the media. If it bleeds, it leads, right? That's the old media expression. I didn't lead the show with it because I'm always surprised when it's like a 500 team and an average quarterback, but it's because he's a great soundbite and, you know, and because it's a fun, interesting story and we lose perspective of this is a team that won one game in 2 years combined. Last year they made the playoffs and they've had, you know, he's been through several different head coaches. I don't think he's that polarizing. I think, though, that he's playing the martyr now, where woe is me, the fans don't like me, TV people don't like me, nobody likes me. I'm just, all I've been here is being accountable to my teammates. It's all about them, not about me. That you're doing the martyr thing, and I'm kind of rolling my eyes a little bit. Coming up next, Manning Cast was last night. Kevin Hart, Bill Parcells, Condi Rice, Julian Edelman. Who killed it, and who could we have done without? We'll discuss next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a good day. Getting ready. You know, most people... tomorrow's a... Jason, I actually want to talk about this by off air, but I'm going to do it on air anyway, because who cares? Like, if you listen to the show, you probably listen for a long time. So tomorrow is a gigantic travel day. I would make the case that tomorrow may be, you may see more travel tomorrow on a Thanksgiving Wednesday than we've seen in our lifetime. The logic behind it was, if you remember, last year Thanksgiving was kind of downplayed in terms of how much you were supposed to be around each other. Now that it's back. And I think there'll be a lot of people avoiding air travel, although traveling your car, it's crazy expensive with the gas prices. What do you guys think? Jason, do you think this Thanksgiving is going to be better, bigger than other Thanskivings because of, you know,
no doubt,
COVID, the restrictions of the past?
I would say no doubt. And it's really kind of surreal to think that just last Thanksgiving was when we were coming out of the shutdown, yeah. I mean, it just seems like longer ago, but yeah, you're right.
Okay, so last Thanksgiving, remind me, where were we? The vax wasn't as universally available, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how available it was, but if it was available,
it was available to old people, I think. You know, people who are at high risk, older people, or people with health conditions, because I got mine in the spring, like the first day in which they're like, hey, anybody can get it. I drove like 20 minutes and got the shot, and now I'm triple vaxxed or whatever. I got the booster a couple weeks ago. So I'm trying to figure out where we were by our last Thanksgiving. Do you remember what it was like?
Yeah, there wasn't a vaccine that was readily available. I know that I ended up hosting on the network that day and ended up just staying home and staying away from the usual family get-together. So it was a very, very boring Thanksgiving.
Okay, so let's get after this. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. I think this is interesting. I think tomorrow, there's going to be a ton of people listening. We'll be on a ton of different markets. It's the day before the NFL games. Like, I want to do some Thanksgiving sides talks, but I also think, like, I want to do a couple a little longer, more conversational interviews. So do we have anybody lined up for tomorrow already?
It's interesting you ask, because the week of Thanksgiving, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, those are typically the toughest to book talk shows, right?
Yeah.
So we have our weekly hit with our guy, Jeremiah.
Okay, Dan. Good.
And I want to say we have Middlecoff might move up to tomorrow because he can't do Friday.
That's good. I'm not on Friday. I'm doing Collins Friday anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So I think those are our regular guys, and we're working on a third.
Okay. So what sport are we thinking, or what conversation, Byer, what conversation do you think we should have? Like, what's interesting to you right now?
Wow. Well, first of all, I'm out tomorrow, so I will not
here. No, I'm not. Yeah. I understand. So like, again, and I know you're not driving to Wisconsin to visit your family. Okay. But if you were driving, let's say your long drive.
You want to know what? I'll tell you, because it's specific to you. I think that you know more about college basketball than 99.99999% of people on local or national radio.
But and do enough people care?
Yes. Oh, I'll tell you this. I would rather listen to somebody who knows so much about their background or about their sport and can go deep than to someone who just grazes off the top. And I think on the heels of the 1-versus-2 battle for Gonzaga and UCLA, that's Tuesday night, that tomorrow would be a great opportunity to dive into that.
Okay, so how about this? Let me send a text to Fuey, and I'll send a text to Mick, and then we'll try and get the winning coach. Is that
perfect?
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay, so winning coach.
And is this Huey Lewis?
Fuey. Mark Fuey goes by Fuey.
Fuey. Yeah, I got it. Fuey Lewis and the news.
Okay, Jay Stu, if you what one conversation, and you can't steal buyers, what one conversation would you like to hear if you're driving? I'm serious.
Tomorrow, I think personally I want to hear something about the college football going into the weekend. You got Michigan, Ohio State.
I like that.
So
okay, so we've already had Klatt. What about Brock?
Brock's always great.
Do we want to get somebody kind of closer? Like, I have tons of guys in Oklahoma. We could get my boy Mark Rogers on for Oklahoma State. We could do a little like Oklahoma State, and then Michigan State, and then we do a little Iron Bowl, a little, you know, couple questions for each guy or each woman. It just doesn't matter, man. Like, I'm not trying to be a chauvinist. I'm just saying because we call it I got a guy or I got a gal. Does that appeal to you, or do you like the Brock Huard idea? I could maybe try and get Herbstreit. We can get him on. You tell me.
Well, if you can get Herbstreit, I would take him anytime you can get him. Okay. But yeah, I was thinking something that skews Ohio State, Michigan, and there are national guys like Laurinaitis. I think you've had on that have a connection to either school. I kind of like that better than the multiple interview.
Scotty taking on Houston, the Cougs. Okay, Manning Cast. Did you guys watch last night? Byer, did you watch Manning Cast last night?
Yes, I did.
Okay, what did you think of the guests?
I thought that the guests were okay. I actually thought that maybe Peyton and Eli lost a little bit of their steam a little bit. I don't know if it was the matchup, but they always seem to save like the best guest for last. Sometimes they're maybe the more of the football guy because you've had Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Edelman last night, and I felt like they could talk more to Edelman in those situations. But I actually nothing too much critical about Bill Parcells or even the Condoleezza Rice. It was just more about I think Peyton and Eli lost a little steam last night.
I would agree with you. Jay Stu, what did you think of last night?
I liked Edelman a lot. I didn't think I would like it as much as I did. So he was cool. But yeah, they were just killing time with him. Last week they were killing time with Phil Rivers. Just doesn't quite work. I want guys reacting to what they see.
But the games were bad. The games were out of hand at the end. So
and that's what I'm saying.
Say?
Yeah. So why not put those guys a little bit ahead of, you know, the Parcells thing is.
But then where do you put Condi Rice?
Right. I don't know.
Or maybe don't have Condoleezza Rice.
That was a
I just point this out? This is Condoleezza Rice. What she said nobody has crushed her for it. I'm going to crush her for this. She went to Notre Dame. She claims to be a Domer. And then she's an Alabama fan. That's like, I grew up in Boston, a lifelong Red Sox fan. Boy, I like the Yankees. I'm an American, a patriot, love the 4th of July, love all things country, really like the Russians. Like, you can't be a Notre Dame fan and an Alabama fan. You just can't. How did they not call her on that crap? That's where it just, you know, and she put the rest, the whole, like, she wanted to be a coach thing, which is, it just sounded ridiculous. She sounds like a delightful person who really loves football. Her dad was a high school football coach, et cetera. But once she said, you know, I'm a Domer or whatever, but I love Alabama, but I'm an Alabama, like, no, you can't do that. You can't do that.
You're starting to tell that some of those are produced as well. I have a question for you guys, which we've had about, I don't know, maybe in half of the, like, those sort of things. Or her talking about the drive with John Elway because she's a Browns fan, I think. And she's not the only one that has had canned responses or stuff that's been produced. But, yeah, the college thing. And wasn't she, you know, at Stanford as well? So maybe she's got a favorite team in each conference and favorite independent. And that's why Notre Dame was Alabama and Stanford.
I'm just going to tell I'm going to tell you this is what every dude is thinking listening to this. You ready for it? That's the difference in the male and the female sports fan. Not every female, but that's the accepting of like, hey, look, I'm a Notre Dame fan, but I really like Alabama. Like, there ain't a dude on earth who thinks like that. Women are just nicer. They're just better people than we are. Let's just accept it. Okay, they are better people than we are. But part of being a person that is us or them, we or they, me or you, is you can't be a Notre Dame fan and an Alabama fan. That's unacceptable. And that's where the guy and that's where the Mars and Venus collide. And you're going to get people go like, hey, a male chauvinist pig. No, I'm not. I'm telling you what's real. There ain't a dude on earth that would ever say that. Ever. I mean, like, look, you have Eli went to Ole Miss. Like, you know, I mean, they're not ever going to win anything. The only time they were winning was when they were cheating, you know, but coincided. They're beating Alabama, right? Because they had just as good of players as Alabama because they were cheating their brains out. Everybody knows that. Hey, but you're not hearing Eli go like, well, you know, I went to Ole Miss, some Ole Miss guy, but yeah, you know, I really think Georgia is awesome. Just love the curb stomping of Florida, you know? Or, man, do I believe that Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, like, you can't do that. Jason Stewart, am I wrong here? Am I too over the top?
I won't go as far as you are going, but I understand where you're coming from. No, there are things that you just can't side with.
Can't
both.
Do that.
Like, you can't say I really liked Bush and Obama. Well, you know, these are two kind of diametrically opposed.
You guys are Dodger fans, right? Boy, I like those Giants this year. I really like the Giants. You're a Dodger fan.
Correct.
You hate the Giants. Sorry, doesn't matter. Hey, what were you going to say, Byron?
I was going to say I know some guys who are morons like that.
So she's a moron.
I don't think it's.
So she's a moron.
As a fan,
She's a moron fan.
Yes. Okay. Listen, and I'm a guy who went to Wisconsin but has cheered for Ohio State since I was little. And I could tell anybody here and anybody that knows me that I've never cheered for the Badgers once.
You know, right. No, that's acceptable.
Never,
that's
never
but she
happened.
Didn't say that. She didn't say, I went to Notre Dame. I'm not really a Notre Dame fan. Okay. I'm an Alabama. She's like, I went to Notre Dame. I'm a Domer. So that's it. When you say I'm a Domer, that's like, I'm a Notre Dame fan. And it said, but I love Alabama. Alabama's my, you know, and then she started making fun of them. You know, do you know how many, all these wins and losses or whatever, like, okay. By the way, this was, I thought, the best line of the line. Here's Julian Edelman doing his Gronk and Brady impression.
Julian, what are these guys talking about right now?
I guarantee Gronk saying, like, yo, Tom, like, I don't think I'm, like, quite ready. Like, my lungs hurt a little bit. I need, like, two more days of practice, and I'll be there big. And Gronk and Tom's probably looking at him like, babe, I thought you did well today. You know, we got to keep it going. We got to get better. You know, like, I could have got you on that one, but then I didn't get you on there.
I love the babe thing. The babe thing is very, very funny. All right, let's get to Eric Eager, who joins us. He's an analyst for Pro Football Focus. Head on over to PFF.com for their Cyber 40 deal. You save 40% off of any PFF subscription by using the code CYBER40. Of course, you could use the code CYBER44 if you're using it for Tom Brady. He's 43 or 44. Anyway, Eric Eager joins us. Eric, how'd Tom Brady grade out last night?
He continues to grade out as one of the best quarterbacks in all of football, and last night was another banner game for him.
Okay, so here's my question to you. The Giants and Daniel Jones, is there, in terms of your gradings, you know, they fired Jason Garrett today. Is there a way to figure out it's the offensive line? Is it the play design? Or is it the quarterback?
Yeah, that's a great question, right? Because, you know, I mean, when you average 4.4 yards per attempt, and then the week before you average 5.5 yards per attempt, and, you know, you have really just a, you know, a start of the season that was actually fairly strong moving into, you know, I mean, it's tough, right? Yesterday, you know, we have this thing we call big time throws, which are basically the throws that get our biggest grade. Daniel Jones is one of them since week four. You know, he has, in the last three games, he has five turnover-worthy plays. Obviously, we saw the two interceptions that were really bad, but he's also putting the ball in harm's way, you know, when, you know, there are, you know, he's putting the ball in harm's way that isn't getting intercepted. So that's a really troubling thing. Last year, Daniel Jones, who he didn't have great statistics last year, but last year he had, you know, more big-time throws and turnover-worthy plays. This year, it's the exact opposite. So, you know, I kind of think Daniel Jones is who he is at this point. They've oscillated through, you know, having receivers, not having receivers, having O-line, not having O-line. And the guy's averaged 6.6 or 6.7 yards per attempt every single season of his career. So I think Daniel Jones is who he is at this point.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Eric, you're joining us. Of course, he's a senior analyst for Pro Football Focus. We told you about that PFF deal, okay, Cyber 40. You get 40% off a subscription. 40% off a subscription. I want to ask you about Russell Wilson. That thing is going bad in a hurry with the Seahawks. How much of it is Russell? How much of it is everybody else?
Well, I think there's a very good case to make that, you know, obviously the Seahawks scheme is not helping them at all. Shane Waldron, you know, came in with a lot of promise, and I think early on, you know, Wilson averaged 11 yards per attempt his first two starts, 9 yards per attempt his third start, and then after that it kind of went downhill. But at the same time, you know, Wilson's just also just not being accurate. I mean, you look at him, you know, less than 70% of his passes, both his games coming back, are on target. Prior to the injury, every single game was over 75. So, you know, you've seen a decrease in, you know, sort of accuracy. He's had four turnover-worthy plays. His first four of the season, actually, since coming back from injury. It's interesting. I think the Seahawks have a real dilemma here. Do you sit Russ down? Because it doesn't look like it's getting all that much better. You know, do you sort of play for next year, you know, despite the fact they don't have draft picks because of Jamal Adams? But do you, you know, hold on to him, make sure he doesn't get injured so you can trade him, right, if you need to move on from him? There's a lot of questions, and I don't think any of them get answered by Russell Wilson playing games in 2021.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, let me ask you about the Cowboys. What went so wrong? They had a lot of injuries. You don't have Tyron Smith. They're under duress. Chris Jones dominated the game. But the turnovers... What do you think of what do you guys grade out as the issues with the Cowboys offense?
Yeah, I think part of it was just, you know, the Chiefs played really good defense, you know, like they've come on and been really strong over the past about 6 weeks or so. So that you have to grade that as well. You know, but Dak averaging 5 yards a pass attempt is certainly not what you want to see. The Chiefs do a really good job of funneling the ball to tight ends, and that's why you saw Dalton Schultz lead the team in catches and yards. So it made a wide receiver heavy team like Dallas have to play, you know, through the tight end, and the injuries obviously didn't help that as well. The Chiefs tackled, you know, you've seen a lot of Tony Pollard on, you know, yards after contact. You didn't see that on Sunday against Kansas City. And then, yeah, the pressure, you know, wasn't great. The Chiefs have not been a great pressure team all year. Chris Jones coming on, but also the injuries there. The other thing is also just Dak Prescott is an elite quarterback. But he's a different kind of elite, I think, than, let's say, the Tom Brady's and the Patrick Mahomes of the, you know, normally. Whereas, you know, Dak really does have some bad games in him. You know, the game against Denver, you know, was terrible. The game against Kansas City left quite a bit, you know, to be desired. And I think, you know, when we look at Dak Prescott, I think overall he's a fantastic quarterback. I think he's worth the money, but when you look at him relative to these other quarterbacks that don't have these stinkers all the time, that's really where I think they're a tier below.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Are you as big a buyer into the Niners here in the stretch run as I am?
To make the playoffs, I think you really do have to look at them as one of the leaders right now. Of those teams that are sort of on the cusp, we have Minnesota 52% chance to make the playoffs. We have San Francisco 41%. New Orleans, 43%. Philadelphia, who has the easiest strength of schedule left on the board in the NFL this year, 35%. So those are really the four teams vying for those last two spots. And absolutely, I think the San Francisco 49ers, 18th most difficult schedule, the most projected wins of the four teams I just mentioned. I think they're very much in the thick of it there.
Okay. The other side of it is, what's wrong with the Rams?
Well, I just don't think the Rams were that good to begin with, right? I mean, when you look at, you know, who the Rams have played so far this year, I mean, going into the Tennessee game, they had played, Houston and then Detroit. They didn't even cover the spread against either team, actually, in either of those games. So they weren't even meeting market expectations in those. And then they play a bad Tennessee team. Obviously, the turnovers there were Stafford. I think the biggest thing is, once you start seeing Stafford's name on the injury list, then you know it's kind of curtains for him. And you've seen that with the Detroit Lions as well. Stafford's a tough player, but he's not a good player when he's hurt. And that back injury that he, you know, has sustained is nagging. I mean, he's back to where he was with Detroit. And you saw it numerous times in Detroit. Jim Bob Cooter, Joe Lombardi, Daryl Bevel hit the first six or seven, eight games with the new offensive coordinator. Stafford on his best behavior. After that, it's usually kind of average quarterback play. And I think the Rams, you know, when they made that trade, they were paying for a lot better than that.
Okay, help me out with this one. It's Doug Gottlieb's show here on Fox Sports Radio. Taysom Hill, there's another extension. Does this money make any sense based upon his production?
No, I don't think I don't think it makes any sense. I have no idea, you know, what they're thinking there. Obviously, the tight end position is sort of a weird one where it had a renaissance in the early, 2010s, but really after that, it's been kind of few and far between. Maybe they're thinking they're buying a weapon there. They have not had success at the position since Jimmy Graham. But I don't know how they see it here because, you know, as much as Taysom Hill is a fun little gadget player, he's not even good enough to, you know, unseat Trevor Siemian at quarterback right now. And that offense, and for that offense right now, without Michael Thomas up, it's time for him to shine as a weapon as well, and he hasn't done that either. So it makes zero sense to me.
Eric, great stuff, man. Eric Eager, analyst for Pro Football Focus. Check them out, profootballpff.com. Cyber 40 for a deal. You get 40% off any subscription. Eric, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for joining us.
You as well, Doug. Thanks for having me on.
We do have breaking news. Here's Dan Beyer.
Breaking news from Fox Sports.
Penn State has announced that they have signed head football coach James Franklin to a new 10-year contract that will keep him in Happy Valley through the 2031 season.
All right, that's interesting stuff. So all these jobs are available. You're not going to ask. Now you have two coaches in the Big Ten at Michigan State and Penn State that are staying. Ryan Day's not going anywhere. So who would leave for the LSUs, the Floridas, the USCs of the world? Breaking news brought to you by BetRivers. Check out the latest lines from World of Sports at BetRivers Sportsbook. BetRivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You must be 21, present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, and Pennsylvania. To play a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Wait to hear what Chris Broussard said about LeBron James. It's next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time we play Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.
Every day at this time, it is the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Once we get Doug's connection cleared up, we will hear from Doug. But at this moment, we're going to hear something interesting from another show, either on Fox Sports Radio or Fox Sports One. It's a segment we like to call...
And now...
What Does the Fox Say is the segment earlier today. Chris Broussard... talking about the suspension of LeBron James and Isaiah Stewart stemming from their brouhaha that they had on Sunday in Motown.
The league is not in the business of judging intentions. The league goes with what actually happened. So I'm not upset about a one-game suspension, even though I didn't think he deserved one. I'm fine with that. As far as Isaiah Stewart, I said yesterday he should get two games or more. I just think there should have been a wider gap between LeBron's punishment and Isaiah Stewart's. All right, so I would say either two, like I said yesterday, two games for Stewart, zero for LeBron, or one game for LeBron, three for Stewart. And people might think I'm crazy because obviously LeBron started it and Isaiah Stewart didn't hit anybody or anything. However, I can't say this strong enough. The league has got to send a message that that cannot happen. Look, accidents happen. Even if it was on purpose, you can't respond the way Isaiah Stewart did, because what if he had gotten to LeBron? And you heard Anthony
His
Davis
other
in the postgame. Oh, we're going to defend our brother. We're not going to let that happen. It would have been an all-out brawl. And the fans are really close to the court. I don't even want to think about what could have happened had he gotten to LeBron and all the players are fighting. It could have been chaos.
It wouldn't have been chaos. Let's not overdo it here, okay? Like, how many years has it been since there was a real, like, square-up NBA brawl? Like, come on. Do I think Isaiah Stewart lost his mind? Yes. Do I think he should be sat down for more than two games? Yes. Do I think what happened with LeBron James is inadvertent? Yes. Look, I understand that a lot of you didn't play basketball or haven't seen high-level basketball or haven't seen it in slow motion. But this idea, when you're seeing a play, you're seeing it in slow motion. In fast motion, somebody's holding your arm, like grab your own left wrist, ball it up, and then release it. And you're going to pop somebody if they're standing close to you in the face. Like, it's a lot like, and look, I'm not no LeBron James defender, but what happens when you do get hit, right? Like, you get smacked. You don't immediately, like, that second react to it. There's a split second that before where your neurons connect and you feel it. And so if you watch in super slow motion, it feels like all of these guys, they get hit, and then all of a sudden there's like 3 seconds, and then they react, and you think they're faking it. Like, no, that's actually, you're slowing down normal human reaction. Isaiah Stewart lost his mind. Dude, his own coaches and players couldn't control him. But there was not going to be any on-court brawl. Otherwise, it had been five dudes pummeling him, and five guys in the NBA aren't throwing punches. Like, as crazy as Russell Westbrook has a tendency to be, he's never thrown a punch in an NBA game. Why? Guys don't throw punches. They just hug each other and act like they're going to. Check out the latest lines from World of Sports, Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Bet Rivers Sportsbook is the trusted name in online sports betting. You must be 21, present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. 7 years ago, Odell Beckham Jr. had the catch that really jump-started his career. What was that like and what's happened to him since? We'll ask one of his former teammates and linemen at the time. Plus, speaking of the Giants, how do you fix that mess? Find out next in the Doug Gottlieb Show.